message is brought to you by the friends and partners of Elijah Amusan Ministry International. Be blessed as you listen.
Hallelujah forevermore. Now, so in first service I began, I used the word vital signs. Vital signs, according to Wikipedia, are a group of the 4 to 6 most important medical signs that indicate the status of the body's vital function, the vital life-sustaining function. So these measurements are taken to help assess the general physical health of a person and to give clues to possible diseases and show progress toward recovery. Now, there are 4 primary vital signs: body temperature, blood pressure, pulse rate, that's the heartbeat, and then there's this breathing rate, respiratory rate. So they are noted with BT, BP, HR, and PR. You know, I told them in first service that I read a magazine, a journal that was released in Geneva by World Health Organization. And they made a powerful statement. This is a terrible statement. 1.28 billion people in the world are actually having high blood pressure. And that 700 million people are living without treating it. They don't even know. So in medicine, it is possible that somebody can look nice, look cool, but something fundamental is wrong inside. And a brilliant theological explanation for this, or to corroborate this statement, is the story of the fall of man. That a man can be breathing in oxygen, breathing in carbon dioxide, but as far as God is concerned, he was a dead man for 930 years. That somebody could take up an action so terrible and grievous that it took 4,000 years for that remedy to be provided. I mean, it took 4,000 years before salvation was dealt to put away the sin of man. That's how terrible it can be. Listen, this particular message is designed to help you take you on a journey of personal assessment for spiritual fitness. Forget about who is hyping you, woman of God, man of God. Forget that thing. Forget about all these wrong assumptions that you think you have outgrown some basic things. And that's what has been putting you in trouble. When you were kids, you know that, you know, popular song. Read your Bible day, pray every day if you want to grow. If we do an assessment poll right now and ask, how many people do read their Bible? You'll be amazed. So that is the purpose of this message, is to help you do a personal, you know, assessment. Glory to God forevermore. I say glory to God forevermore. You see, you won't really understand the impact of the fall of man until perhaps to the fullest, of course, to the fullest possibility, until resurrection. Do you know that? Do you know what it means to have a life that there is no death? Listen, it has become normal in our own perception, but these are trainings of our senses. We have gotten acquainted to see people being born, they grow old, and then they get to 90, 80, 100, and then they die. It's becoming normal, but it's not normal. So something can appear normal, but it's not normal. See, normal does not mean popular. And that's why it's possible for something to look normal, but something fundamental on the inside is wrong. And, you know, for example, there's a way your car ought to function. It doesn't also mean that that car is going to function that way. So you have to take it for a checkup. Glory to God forevermore. You know, sometimes we think we're cheating nature. Let me give an instance. When I was walking, alright, my office was in Wuse 2, and what I do is, because the work has a lot of demand, then ministry too, so I don't even have time to eat. That meat pie, 500 naira, and I get yogurt, 550 ml, a bowl of yogurt, 550 ml. If I take it in the morning, 9 a.m., imagine, have you ever seen somebody taking yogurt in the morning, 9 a.m., and meat pie? If I take it in the morning, I will not be hungry throughout the day. So I felt happy that, wow,
At least I've got something to keep my belly just be full so that I won't be hungry. I'll be able to do a lot of work. So I did it day one, day two, day three, day four. So I looked normal. Until the fourth day I got back home in Abuja, my house in Abuja. And I opened the door. Let me sit down. I sat on the floor. To stand up became, you know, now. The next thing will have been, God forbid, pastor passes out after headline, God forbid. Amen. But I was undoing myself. Another example was, I remember 2017, I read a particular book written by a pastor's wife, a Jewish pastor's wife. He titled it Holy, Holy. Beautiful book. But for me now, you know, I took it out of extreme. She was just talking about dieting and all that. So I canceled sugar from my food entirely. Up to today, I don't eat white bread anyway. So I stopped eating white bread. I stopped eating sugar. I stopped, you know, I was so concerned about my diet. Ah, I don't want to, no sugar, nothing. And I still don't anyway, for your information. But I'm going to tell you, I found better sources to get those things. But the point I want to make is, I began to eat certain diet, no sugar. I stayed away from sugar all the way, 2018, 2019. One day in the office, I noticed that for the whole week, I was going blank out. Like, I literally almost pass out. I noticed I couldn't pray for 3 hours anymore. I would pray for 1.5 hours, and I would feel so weak. At first, I felt, devil, I bind you. Put your hand. I'm going to pray. But I still should pray. But I've been eating protein alone. Until I went to be checked. And they say, young man, you have low blood sugar. I said, huh? When I went to Google it and I saw the symptoms, and one of the symptoms is you can drop dead anytime. I said, hey, but I looked normal. I looked normal. Hey, I went to Ebiano supermarket straight. I went to look for dates. Debino bought it back. Put in my I chew it every day. I'm chewing. In the office, man of God, wait till I'm just chewing it. Sugar. I must, drop dead. Come on. Praise God. So I have to find multiple sources of sugar that is healthy, of course. Amen. So the point I want to make is, of course, my sugar level has come up now. Praise God. Alright, is you could actually look normal, but something fundamental can be wrong. Adam was looking normal for 930 years, but the guy, he was dead. He was so dead that what he did took 4,000 years for God to repair. So that's why Vata Science, if you go to a hospital, I'm not talking about good hospital, let me just say. Praise God. If you go to a good hospital, the first thing they do on you is they check your vitals. So they want to check the first thing is, in fact, in advanced, in good hospitals, they trust more. They use the ear, mouth, skin, but the one they trust more that gives them accurate, reading usually is the anus. So they will just put the things higher on so that they're able to check your eats. Do you know that gut health is one of the most powerful way of checking how healthy somebody is? Your gut. Those of you that used to eat gari, all this one day gari. You know this gari they used to make one day is not sour. The hydrocyanidic acid is still there. You say how the gari is well. All this Igbo gari. I don't know. You are feeding on trash. Alright? You just eat gari, look like sand, no taste. You say, Yoruba gari too sour. Listen, you need that sour. Any food that is not sour is not good for your health. It's not good for your gut. Anyway, I don't have to talk too much. See, there are some things they call probiotics. That's what you find in yogurt. Those of you that used to drink all this yo-yo, all this yogurt. It's not, that's not yogurt. You are killing yourself. That's not yogurt. Any yogurt that does not have a culture, a living culture, they call it culture. Don't forget. Don't worry. Those of you are not in biological sciences, you won't know what I'm saying. All right. They call them probiotics. They have impact on your gut. They help bowel movement and all of that. Oh my God, I didn't have to say all this. But Anyways, why? How did I get here?
Well, here's the point. You can look normal, but medical doctors won't take you normal until they check your vitals. I just give you statistics now. That 1.28 billion people are living with hypertension without knowing. I mean, 700 million are living without knowing. 1.28 billion are living with it. And this is one of the vital signs. See, vital signs, alright, let me read it to you again. In Wikipedia, means important medical signs that indicate the status of body's vital functions. Alright, so these measurements are taken to help assess the general physical health of a person. And it also gives clues to possible diseases and show progress toward recovery. Praise God forevermore. I say praise God forevermore. So the same thing applies in your spiritual life. You can appear normal, but you're not normal. So today's teaching is designed to help you do a personal fitness assessment. I shared with them in the first service that, you know, there's something they call fitness assessment. Alright, and one of the ways they go is they want to check your ability to and your endurance ability and all of that. And I stumbled on one material on squatting. So they do this segmentation of male and female. Then they also have age segmentation. So I look at the column of my age group. Alright, I'm in my 30s. So I look at 29, so there's a segment from 29 to 35. And I noticed I saw all the readings. If you do below 15, then you need to see the doctor gently. If you do below 25, you are sick. If you do 35 to 45, from 25 to 30, you are fairly good. If you do between 35 to 40, you are good. Then if you do 45 upward, you are excellent. So they have a way of assessing your fitness. And yes, I did it. What's that? I did 42. Because you must do it in 60 seconds, 1 minute. Your arms must be stretched this way, your legs must be firm on the ground, not on the toe, on the ground. And then you go like this, straight, like this. So I did 42. That means I'm good. Amen. So they have a way, the same thing in military. They want to do personal assessment. They don't want to assume that just because you look okay, then you are okay. The same thing applies to your spiritual life. You could look okay, but you know you are not okay. So how do I know? Listen, do you know the problem? Because we live in a fallen world. This is not the world that God created. There are some things that we have come to accept as normal that are not normal. For instance, people growing and aging and dying is not normal. The reason why we have accepted it normal is because we see everybody die now. Everybody's gone. Duh. We even say jokingly. I remember when I was in secondary school, then there was this popular song. Everybody won't go, nobody won't die, nobody won't... Don't worry, you won't know it. All these, you don't know those songs. Anyways, alright, so we say it's normal, but it's not normal. Only Adam and Eve can understand what it means to live without a sense of death. So just because something is popular doesn't mean it is normal. And normal does not also mean popular. Listen, do you know who you are? When we say you are a spirit being, essentially you have to look, when the Bible addresses you, look at the people he addressed you with. Open to the book of Hebrews 12. Let me show you something there. Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12 and verse 22. The Bible says, but ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels. Look at the people he is addressing you alongside with. Innumerable company of angels, come and talk to me. Let's go to 23. To the general assembly, that is the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all. And to the spirit of just men made perfect. And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. Now, he's going to address you. Look at your co-livers he's addressing. That means you belong in the heavenly pantheon. You are an heavenly panther, not black panther. You understand what I'm saying? You are an heavenly panther. That's who you are. That's where you belong. So essentially, you are a spirit. You have a soul. You live in a body. See, this foundational truth is very important. It's a cardinal truth to basically most theological truth in the Word of God. You have to first realize that you are a spirit. You are not your soul. You are a spirit. You live in a body. So because we live in a fallen world, there are certain things you can consider as normal, but they are not normal. They're not normal. I mean, and you see, when you study the Word of God, alright, I told them in first service, there's a way the Bible takes the position of its communication that makes the reader assume, the writer of the Bible assumes the reader is normal. I told them in first service, I said, for example, I am an author, I'm a writer. And I fault the beginning of the writing of Bible 100%. Because naturally speaking, that's not the way to start any piece. You can't write a book and begin with, in the beginning, God. What's that? Naturally speaking, what you need to do is to first explain the existence of God. But the writer begins by saying, in the beginning, God. Why? Because the writer assumes, it takes a position that you, reading it, you are normal. Because it is abnormal for you to question the existence of God. So he believes that you, reading it, knows that there is God. Because angels know, living creatures know, cherubs know, even stones, animals, all creature knows that there is God. So the question of, is there God, is actually abnormal. So it takes the position of normality for the reader. Okay. Look at even angels. You know, when you study the Bible and you see the way angels behaved in scripture, these are our co-livers. So they appear impatient. I don't know if you have noticed it. I mean, a man is old. Medically speaking, there's no way he's going to have babies anymore. And he's a priest. And now he's ministering in the holiest of all. And you appear to him and you told him you're going to have a child. And the guy says, excuse me, how is this going to happen? I'm old. How is it going to happen? I'm old. And then the next thing you say is, I am Gabriel. I stand before the presence of God. Because you refuse to believe, because you have doubted, now you'll be dumped until the thing happens and you leave. Who does that? So human beings appear too slow, too sluggish. So because for us, what we see as fast is not fast, it's normal. For them, they feel we are slow. And that's the realm you belong. I'm trying to let you know that something can appear normal. It's the education of your five physical senses. That something might appear normal, but it's not normal. I mean, wonderful women, they were not done with the embalming of their loved ones that died. And then they went there on Sunday morning to go and finish the embalming of the head. And they got there. They noticed that the stone had been rolled away. Okay, we came with spices. Let's go and finish the embalming. Instead of you to come and say, guys, good news. The person you are looking for is risen. Oh, he's no longer alive. Good news. No, you came and said, why are you seeking for the dead, living among the dead? Why are you seeking for... calm down. They don't have excuses for unbelief, doubt. It's not in their realm. Okay, you came to tell somebody about the naming of your son that was born. Alright? And you say, you just came. Boom. This boy, don't put knife on his head. He is a Nazarite. Okay, we have head. Please sit down. Let's go into the kitchen and just make small food for you. Before we finish making food, we have vanished. How far? Don't you know that in this art realm, it takes time to boil water, to pick the beans, to... You just left. So we appear too slow. Okay. Somebody resurrected from dead, that's Jesus. And then for 40 days, he was teaching about the kingdom. Then in Galilee, he was teaching, alright, instructing people. And while he was teaching, the Bible says, he levitated. That means the cloud received him out of your sight. What a moment. I wish I was there. I mean, can you imagine as he's talking and then his voice is fainting as he ascends? And everybody is taking self, everybody posting on Facebook. Oh my God. What a moment. And then you came to ruin the moment. Why are you looking up? The same way you go up, you will come back. Why are you guys do the same Jesus you are looking? Why are you guys looking up? Calm down. Praise God. God told you to go and destroy a city. So a young man is there with his daughters. They were living righteously. They are even married to their husbands. And you came to tell him that, guy, this is a man that is a rich man. He has business. Okay. You came to tell him that you want to destroy the city. Okay. Give him time. Let him talk to his daughters. Let his daughters convince their husband that they should pack their load and leave the land. The next thing you did, you grab his hand. And you started dragging, literally, somebody's wife. You are dragging them by the skirt. You drag the dad too, like this. And you are literally dragging them, like, wait. And you say, don't look back. Now, somebody looks back, it turns to salt. Do you understand what I'm saying? And then he was saying, if you read the story, you will hear him saying, I beseech thee, if thou will have mercy upon me, permit me to run into Zoan. Because the thing, he said, no, run for your life. We appear too slow. Why? Because in that realm, it looks like doubt, unbelief, fear is not normal. So what we see here as normal, so I'm trying to help you see that something can appear normal, but it is not normal. So in first service, I showed them 3 out of 4 things I want to share. I told them that one of the vital signs, one of the ways you will know that you are not in shape, forget about who is hyping you or calling you one man of God. You know within yourself that you are not in shape. Number one is error. As a Christian, when you can dwell in error for so long, I give them example of a lady, alright, she has this sugar daddy. One day she just put a call through and said, I'm tired. I know something is wrong. Something is damaged inside me about this thing. One thing about a believer is if you stay in error, you won't stay in error for too long. You will walk out of it. But there are believers who have normalized error. They can lie easily and they won't feel remorse for it. Once you start noticing that in your life, you know you need a retreat. Number two, I told them that when your hunger for God dies out, the things of God no longer interest you, alright? It becomes terrible. There are Christians who will stay a whole week, they won't listen to one tape. How do you used to do the things you used to do? How do you do it? 1 week, there are Christians who can stay 2 weeks without praying. I'm afraid for you. You mean you woke up in the morning, went out, did everything you like, came back, day one. You went out again, did all you need to do, came back and slept day two. In this fallen world, with village people there, with Satan roaming about looking for who may devour you, you are going here and there not praying. How? I'm really afraid for you. It's like, I told them in first service, it's like when some people, when they get to the hospital, the doctor will literally shout at them. Not out of disdain, but out of concern. Are you alright? What's wrong with you? Didn't you see this sign? You mean this has been happening for 1 month? I mean, some doctors will literally shout. They can't hold back. You mean you've been seeing these signs and you never did something about it? It is so in the spiritual too. One of the things I realized in the last couple of months is that there are believers who are into a lot of activity, but they are not walking with God. They are not growing. And it's one or two things. You are either growing or you are depreciating. There is no such thing as I'm on the same level. It's not true. It's either you are growing or you are depreciating. And the things you think you have outgrown are the things putting you in trouble. Simple, read your Bible, pray every day if you want to grow. You rehearse this thing as children in school. Now you think you have outgrown them. There are Christians who don't read their Bibles at all. They don't listen to tapes at all. And I told them in first service, I said, listen, do you realize that habits are actually interconnected? If you listen to tape, you are most likely going to be a prayerful Christian. For instance, you can't listen to 2 of my tapes and not burst out in tongue. It's not possible. I will say something in the message that will make you say, Kabaya! Keboroto Pakaya. It could be 2 minutes long, you will say it. It's very most likely that if you are prayerful, you want to study more. It's more very possible that if you stay prayed up, there's going to be order in your life. You will see order. Things will arrange themselves. And I give them an example. I don't know if you have experienced this thing. You are praying in tongues. You prayed. When you are done praying, you just finished praying. And you just feel unhappy with the way your room looks. I don't know if you noticed. And you just start, you took broom, start sweeping, start arranging things. And like, where did this energy come from? Or it could even be before you pray. Something makes you feel like, if I don't clean this room, this prayer will not flow. I don't know if you can relate. You want to pray and you feel like, before I pray, I must sweep this sky. I must change this bedsheet. As if somebody is looking at your bedsheet. Do you understand what I'm saying? You are so concerned. In fact, can I be honest with you? Sometimes I don't feel like praying until I go and take my bath. Because I feel like, I don't know if you know what I'm saying. You feel like I need to bath up first before I don't know if you know what I'm saying. Because there's something about the Spirit of God that brings order. That the Spirit of God could be hovering over a chaotic mass, a disorder mass, can be hovering over it, and he'll be displeased until a word will say, light be. And then he began to call fish, and then he began to separate light from darkness. And then he begins. That's how creation began. It's a spirit of order. There's a spiritual order that comes into your life through the ministry of the Holy Ghost. So the Holy Ghost in you is not a joke. Number three is when spiritual devotion becomes difficult. You know, it amazes me when I hear Christians say things like, I don't know, Pastor, I've not been prayerful for some weeks now. I find it difficult to pray. You find it difficult to pray. Then why are you surprised you find it difficult to pray? Question, when last did you pray? Like 2 months ago. That's why now, the way to be prayerful is to pray. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's not as if being able to pray just comes. If you don't pray, you don't pray, no need. Because some people think that we pastors, you know, prayer just fall on us. See, there are times you don't feel like praying, but prayer is not a feeling. You pray anyway. And as you keep praying, your feeling will align. This is very fundamental. See, there are some things you are doing right now. You know, as I'm talking to you, you know that there are some. And you know, the most painful things to me is many of you are students. You apply these simple principles in mundane things in life, but you refuse to apply it in your spiritual life. How many of you here? I don't know. There should be many of you too who can relate. When I was in university, the same thing. I'm not sure there are some guys. Look, let me tell you, in my university. Alright? When I was in the university, my first degree, I used to be among best dressed every session in my faculty. So I have some friends who were richer. Alright? One even had a car that would come and pick me, who work like the big boys in faculty and all that. Alright? But when it's like 3 weeks to exam, I know the kind of people, the new friends I'll make in the department. Do you know what I'm saying? I don't know what I'm saying. You know that this one, you know that if you want to catch vibes, there are just some guys in the faculty that if it is vibe, but you know that when it is 1 month to exam, there are some friends that you will intentionally avoid them. You know that these ones, I can't carry 2-1 with this one. 2-1 no go show up with this one in our pass. I don't know what I'm saying. And then we intelligently apply these principles in academia. We apply it in our lives, but we hardly apply to spiritual things. Okay, I find it difficult to pray. Okay, in your church, you belong to a church, Cornerstone Christian Center. Your pastor cares so much about your spiritual growth. He plans, we are paying a good number of dollars to Mixel our company to make sure that we are here every year roundabout. If we are going per month, a month is like $20. And we have planned that, okay, for the whole year. We have booked for the whole year now. We are planning to book for the whole year that every morning, because per day you have 3 hour slots per day. We say, okay, every morning, 6 to 6:30 a.m., pray in tongues. Your lead pastor will lead you in 30 minutes prayer. in the night as well, 9 to 9:30, pray. And you are not clicking in, and you are wondering why you are not praying. And we did a series on prayer last month. Get the tape. There is something about corporate prayer. The point I'm arriving at is this. Life is a product of cause and effect. It's garbage in, garbage out. If you don't put in, you won't get anything out of it. If you don't invest in your prayer life, you won't pray. And if you are waiting for the spirit of prayer to come upon you, you will not pray. You have to create a structure. And that's why we have helped you create a culture, a structure to help you build a culture of prayer. So I've given them three things, vital signs, to help them do personal assessment. There are Christians that they will leave home as school resume now. They will resume into a sugar father, sugar daddy's house. I'm not joking. And they are very okay. They still sing hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm like, how? How do you do it? See, there was a certain particular preacher that, you know, a news broke out, and he actually came to confess that he's an homosexual. A lot of people were castigating, but I'm seeing from another direction that, how can you be a man of God for this long? And you've been practicing homosexual and you've been okay. How? It means that something has been wrong a long time, but you are still looking good. I'm not getting what I'm saying. How many of you have been praying? You are praying in tongues or just praying, and you remember some bad things or wrong things you once did, and you feel irritated in the prayer. Let me see. How many of you are praying, and then a flash of some wrong things you did came, and then you feel irritated, and you feel like, how did I even do that? And you felt bad. Let me see what ends up. Because the prayer has this cleansing power. So a believer who is prayerful and stays in prayer cannot continue in error. You wake up one morning and say, no, I can't continue like this. It's not possible. Except you are praying for social reasons. You know, pray, go and listen to our tapes on prayer. Many people are praying for social reasons. They don't know. And many people are hypocrites. They're not really praying. There's a disconnect between their heart and their mouth. And some are actually praying to be seen. The Bible says they have their reward already. But the most brilliant thing there is Jesus says, he helps us to see that there's a reward for prayer. That means, the outcome of my life will be a product of my private toils. He says, your Father who sees in secret will reward you in the open. So there's a reward for prayer. And I want to give you the fourth one now. The fourth one is when the release of faith becomes difficult. When the release, these are vital signs to prove that you are not good. You are not okay. Forget who is hyping you. Forget all these things. Listen, when the release of faith becomes difficult, let me tell you this. The concept of possibilities, pay attention now, the concept of possibility are just an inclination of our sensual perception, a training in our mind about certain things over the years. It is because we've been schooled, our senses have been schooled, that's why we seem to see headache as a lesser ailment, and then we see maybe hepatitis D or B. We see it. That one is a terrible disease. But in reality, it's all disease, and the power of God does not know which one is more difficult than the other. Do you understand? It takes re-engineering of your mind to realize that in the spirit, they are one and the same. That's why in the spirit, sin is sin. Sickness is sickness. Because what you see as a big sickness, in the spirit, it's a joke.
The things of the spirit that wows everybody, that wows you, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, prophetic. Ah, that guy prophetic strong. Man, listen, when we get to heaven, there won't be need for the things of the spirit anymore. That's why the Bible says that when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be made known. 1 Corinthians 13. When we get to heaven, nobody will need word of knowledge again. Because everybody will know everything about everything. Everybody will know because we will be in a perfect state at that time. And that's the realm we belong. So what has appeared normal to you actually was just a long-standing cultural education of your intellect. You've been schooled in unbelief. Okay, you want to marry. And then the next thing that's coming to your head is, I will need this one now. I will need... you know, go happen this year again. Next year, and even next year, then they pay me salary, if I they save 20, I'm not saying you should not plan, but you see, you need a retreat. There are Christians who can't believe God for 10,000 naira. You know, the Lord led me to a lady one time. Alright, I gave a word to her, and the next day she called me, she said she's about to go back to her vomit again. What happened? Okay, this guy takes advantage of her. And for what? She needs to fill her gas. How much do you fill gas? 2,000. As a pastor with a shepherd, she attended the church just once or twice or thereabout. Send your account number. I send it to Key. She was thankful and all that. And then the good thing is, it's a good way to start up people whose Christian life is still in shambles. She has picked up herself now and she's doing fine. Can I have a big amen to that? But what baffled me is, so there are Christians who can't believe God for 2K. And I'm not trying to be insensitive to everybody's level of spiritual growth, but 2,000, you have to go open your labs to fill a gas? Your cooking gas, I mean. You know, it's terrible. You have to know that you need... Listen, when you can't see possibilities... See, as I'm talking to you right now, Batoko Brakete. See, I'm not seeing one. How many are you? I'm seeing 25,000. See, there's a warehouse, Kele Fracto Protege. There, and one of the most brilliant ways, I'll show you very soon. Stay prayed up. I wish you came for first service. You see testimonies people were giving during morning prayer. Testimonies that came out from morning prayers that we have started. I shared one on Facebook. There was one lady, she's not had menstruation since January. See, it's a testimony. We rejoice over it and we are thankful for it. But guess what? In the spirit realm, it's a child's play. And that's the realm you belong. That's the point I want to make to you. Something is vitally damaged when it becomes difficult for you to release faith. You are in year 3 now, 300 level. You're already thinking about, there's no job in town. Oh God, you're already praying about how to get job. What's wrong with your mind? What happened to Ephesians 3:20? Now unto him that is able to do exceeding. If he said abundantly, it's enough. If he said above, it's enough. But he said exceedingly abundantly above. He's talking about something that tears your mind out. And he puts a condition there. He says exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or can imagine, according to the power that worketh in us. Listen, that power that will make a miracle beyond your imagination happen is at work in you. It's in you. And it tells you that it's at the degree of what you think. So that means, your degree of supernatural psychology depends and determines your supernatural experiences. What can you see? What can you think? Crevedola went for a test. They told him he had cancer. Crevedola said, Thank you. He went there, he locked himself up in the messages of healing preached by Sister Gloria Copeland, began to listen to it, take confession. He went back for this next scan. Very funny enough, in the scan, they said the son went with him and said, the picture you are seeing in the scan looks like Jesus. Glory to God forevermore. The same thing with Dottie Austin, John Austin's wife. That's Joel Austin's parents. You know Joel Austin now, that one that is motivational. I'm just joking. This is my Bible. You just raise it up and you don't really, I'm sorry. But his dad was a revivalist. Amen. And she stayed decades with a disease that was prognosed to kill her in 3 days. What does that tell you? When you read the Bible, do you use your imagination? A man was on the bed, and 1,000 soldiers fully armed were outside ready to capture him. 1,000, these were Roman soldiers. These were soldiers. You see the way they dressed those days. 1,000 to capture a man, and he had nothing. The only thing we read is that, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, Judges 15:15, and he looked left, looked right, he saw a jawbone of an ass. You know jawbone? I don't know if you know jawbone. Dry jawbone, and with one dry jawbone, he killed 1,000 men. It's like, let me tell you, I don't know if you have seen all these old Jet Li movie. It has to be that way. Now, try to think it. Jawbone of an ass. Slaughter 1,000 fully armed soldiers. Okay, Gideon. Gideon wants to go and fight several battalions. And he felt, well, I need a lot of workforce. And he gathered, he was good enough to gather 3,000 workforce. I need to accomplish this goal. I need a lot of workforce. Guess what? God blew his mind and says, there are too many. Took them for assessment test. Put them on regimen. He took some to the river. Told them to put their head in water. Guess what? Some were drunk. And guess what? He came out with only 300 men. God was trying to teach him a lesson. Oh, I'm doing a teaching this month in Bible study. School of Faith. Faith models. Everyone God ever used in scripture, he took them out on a school of bravery. With 300 men, that's where they got the idea of that movie, 300. I've seen that movie like 3 or 4 times. Guess what? When they got to the battle, they didn't really fight. Hailstones came from heaven. Angels were the ones that were removing the socket of those vehicles, those machine guns that the enemies had. Were falling upon themselves. Glory to God. 300 men. You know, there's a high jump principle that says, you don't need 10 men that can run, that can jump 10 feet to win a high jump. You need a guy that can jump 10 feet to win the game. Do you get the principle? So many times it's not about the crowd. It's about able men, faithful men, whose hearts are needed to work out things. Do you understand what I'm saying? So you have to engage your mind. So if it becomes terrible and difficult for you to believe God for things, you need a retreat. Let me tell you, there are some doubts that you need to fast to cure the doubt and unbelief. This is a school of the spirit. Are you listening to me? Are you listening to me? Some of you, if you see it, if they bring a dead body to you now, your faith will just die. They just bring a dead body, a dead child. You just go... Let me show you something. Open to the book of Matthew. How many of you is getting blessed here? Are you getting blessed? Matthew 17. Matthew 17 verse 14. I want you to pay attention. He says, and when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man, kneeling down to him and saying, verse 15, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is lunatic. Alright, lunatic. This thing, I don't know, he has seizures.
He now said, and so vexed. Alright, what medical science calls seizure? Now, demon. See, don't let anybody intellectualize things for you. Do you understand what I'm saying?
And the reason why I'm a guy, but I like it. I like guys is because that's where I was born.
You are a man, and you look at me like this. You look at me. You look the way I am, and you are liking me. You need to know that something is wrong fundamentally with your psyche. You are dead. Something is. Your knot is out. I mean, you look like this. The way I am, like this, and you liked me, and you are a man, and you are saying I was born like that. And that you need to know there is something demonic about it. And then you now belong to a country that believes in democracy, government of the people by people for the people, popular opinion, and they are trying to push it for you, LGBTQ. Oriented Daru, something is wrong with you. Yes, your head is not. That is it. And if the head is not, we need the power of God to screw the knot back. And don't let anybody intellectualize it. So this lunatic is demon, actually. You will see it now. Let's go. Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is lunatic and soft vexed. For oft times he falleth into fire and oft into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. They were his disciples. He has given them the power to heal, but they couldn't. They couldn't. The Bible says, whose faith follow? Whose faith follow? The word faith there in context means their devotion. Look up, everybody. See. Any man of God you are following and you don't follow his devotion, his grace can rub on you. Don't be deceived. That's what Elijah says. He says, if you see me when I'm moving, when I'm going, you must follow his faith, his devotion. Look at it. Then Jesus answered and said, oh, faithless and perverse generation. He's talking to his disciples. You know, sometimes when you look at the way Jesus addresses disciples, if it is nowadays a senior pastor address a leader in church like that, he will be angry. How can you talk to me like that? There was one time Jesus told him, oh, you foolish generation. I mean, disciples. One time he called Peter devil. Get behind me, Satan. You see it on news. News flash. Pastor calls member devil. Or when Elijah asks a widow to make his own food, it will be on the news line. Popular prophet demands widow's last lunch. Do you understand? Because these are sensual things that's why in the school of the spirit, this is a school of the spirit. So tune in your spirit and squeeze every juice from this teaching. Next week, I've planned something big to share with you. Next week is going to be more awesome, but make sure you follow through. But look at it. Then Jesus answered and said, oh, faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? In other words, I love the way Dr. Miles Monroe talks about this place in his book, Passing It On. He was literally asking them, how long will I keep training you? Have you seen a child that you are left training something all the time? He has just not learned it. He has not just learned it. You attend the church year one, year two, and you still have to be called for service. Year one, year two. You still have to be told what to do. So he says, how long will I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Okay, bring him there. That means bring the child. Let's go. Verse 18. And Jesus rebuked it. Can you see? It was lunatic, but what did Jesus rebuke? Talk to me now. Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him. And the child was cured from that very hour. Let's go verse 19.
I love the disciples. You see, they have the heart to learn. Even when the masters call them, you this viper generation, you faithless, they should have gotten and look at what this says. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? What did Jesus say? And Jesus said unto them, because of what? Because of what? So what is the subject of the matter here? Talk to me. Don't forget where it began from. He called them faithless generation, right? Is a question on faith. Now let's go. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, he began to teach them faith. Because the way to cure unbelief is to preach faith. For faith comes out. In Mark 6, the Bible says he could not do mighty miracles because of their what? What did Jesus do in verse 7? Then Jesus began to what? To teach in all the villages. Because the way, the cure to unbelief is teaching the word of faith. For faith comes by hearing. Now look at what it says. If ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed. I've seen the mustard seed before. My aunt, when she came from Jerusalem, she brought a bottle of mustard seed to my dad. And the first time I saw it, it's tinier than a grain of rice. Not basmati rice. Oh. This normal local tiny rice is even bigger than that seed. Mustard seed. And I was told that the tree is so big. That's it. Is it true, sir? Okay, thank you for confirming. That tells you that the power of a tree is actually, it has nothing to do with how big the seed is. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That's a word for somebody. Start a business and like, I don't know, this 50k cannot start this business. Shut your trap, kick off, start out, and watch miracles happen your way. Amen, somebody. If ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. 21. How be it? Nevertheless. That means, in spite of all I've said, I've just taught you about how to release your faith into words. Nevertheless, this kind goeth not out. How? Can we all read verse 21 together? 3, 2, go. Now, in some denomination who don't read their Bible, they say there are some demon that does not go except to fast and pray. It's not true. The context is faith. He is teaching them faith. He's helping them to remove. There are some unbelief that would not leave except you fast and pray. How many of you agree with me that you can, have you prayed? How many of you have, you woke up in the morning and then you pray. This spirit of prayer came on you. And you began to pray. You left your chair. You went to grab your bed. You are dumb. You went to kitchen. You were done praying for hours and hours. And then you were done praying. You woke up and you're like, you open your door. Where is the devil? You're like, where's the devil? I'm not going to tell that way. Because there's something about boldness that rises up in prayer. He says, building up yourself on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. There's a way unbelief disappears in the place of prayer. There's a way as you ascend, faith rises. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? So there are some unbelief that you will need prayer and fasting. What fasting does is fasting helps you, all right, to humble your soul. That's what fasting does. To humble your soul. You fast that thing out. A man of God, the bishop, he fasted for a whole year. You don't have to do like that, all right? Until he was coughing blood. 85. Miracles. See, let me tell you, stop loving the glory without the story. If you want to see what you saw in the book of Acts, you must do what they did in the book of Acts. The Bible says they were going from house to house daily, praying and eating their bread from house to house daily. They were evangelizing daily. They were praying daily. There can't be a revival if there is no daily structure to a devotional life. Don't deceive yourself. For you can do all the posters, go and put all the, somebody, it's not noise.
Set yourself on fire and see.
You will see the world will come and watch you.
So there are some unbelief that you have to deal with. So when you get to a stage in your life, this is the fourth vital sign where it becomes terrible for you to believe God. To believe God.
You know that you need a retreat.
That's the number four vital signs. And I just told you the cure. There are some unbelief that they are so strong, you need to fast and pray to cast them out. You just have to edify. That's why this church, we are telling you, 6 a.m. every morning, tune into the Mixel Hour, pray for 30 minutes. 9 p.m. in the night before you sleep, even if you have asleep, you are already asleep. You know, put alarm to wake you 9 p.m. It won't take more than 30 minutes just to pray. In fact, most times we do 10 minutes to just listen to song and worship. How many of you have been following, you noticed? You see?
Praise God forevermore.
So what are the three things you need to do if you are, because this assessment check, some of you now, alright, you're already doing your own personal assessment of yourself. So what do you do if you belong to this category? I'll tell you just three things quickly, then we pray. We're going to use good time, 5-10 minutes thereabout, to just pray fervent prayer. I'm not even noticed that since we began after the 30 days of fasting and prayer, you know, your desire to pray heightened. How many of you noticed that it was easy for you to pray, right? It's normal. It's just normal. Anything you do regularly becomes part of you. And that's my goal. This year, I want to make everybody become a prayer whiz. You are in the bedroom, you are praying. I mean, look at Jesus. He wants to enter swimming pool and he was praying. I'm just joking. But yes, he's not swimming pool, but he wants to be baptized. Luke 3:21. The Bible says, as he was going to be baptized, he was praying. Because, listen, look up everybody. It's okay now. What's that? But what I'm saying is, however casual, what is it you want to do? Pray. You want to eat. You know, some Christians don't even pray on food again. They have outgrown it. Yeah, yeah. All the things you have outgrown, they are the things putting you in trouble today. I'll be 16 years. I got a dress like this. So if you touch, now you are now 18. Nobody can talk to you. That's why you have fallen to the wrong boyfriend every time. He cheated me. It's because the things you think you have outgrown are the ones putting you in trouble. Nobody can talk to you again. Some of you, even when you go home, normally, you know, 6 p.m., they will say, come back home. Once it is 8, you say, I'm not a university girl. When I'm in school, that's how a 419 went to use your phone to call Osh Poppy. Now, your name is on the list of people they are looking for. Praise God. So, these are vital signs. So, what do you do to remedy this thing? Number one, control your sight and sound. Listen, if you can put, look up everybody, if you can control what you hear and what you see, you have more than 90% control over your life experiences. If you can control what you hear and what you see, what I just told you is the secret to Christian devotion, is the secret to power, is the secret to everything. If you can control what you hear and what you see, those are the two major gates. Faith comes through those gates. Unbelief too comes through those gates.
Hallelujah. I said hallelujah.
You know, and you can't be like acidic. You can't be melancholic about this. You have a friend who is a noisy friend, comes to your room, alright, and then starts playing. Some people don't have that gusto to say, no, you can't play such song in my house. Cassava fall on you. And then you are wondering why you are having dreams of cassava. It's because you think, if you cannot control what you hear, on your status, you're always putting something that has to do with. You want to put picture on Facebook now, you have to remove the four buttons. Why? You have, so where? Okay. Are we going to see Joshua 2:5 there, or what are we going to see there now? Is it Genesis? What? Which scripture? What? How? Second Peter 2:4. The Bible says, "For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into the chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah," pay attention, "the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing him in the flood upon the word of the ungodly," verse 6, "and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly." Verse 7, "and deliver the just Lot," that means the righteous Lot. Now look at this, don't miss me now. This righteous Lot was what? Vexed with the filthy conversation. Now, conversation there in Greek is anatrophe. It means manner of life. He was vexed in his spirit in their manner of life of the wicked. Verse 8. Can we all read verse 8 together? 3, 2, verse 8. 2 Peter 2, verse 8. 3, 2, go. Come on, verse 8. Alright, verse 8. 3, 2, go. "For that righteous man dwelling among them in sin." Come again. Let's go again. 3, 2, go. Louder. Someone says seeing and hearing. There's something about sight and sound. I've told you this before, and I've used this example a lot. That I remember when I first came to Kefi, there was one guy that used to barb him, you know, in Agwanhambu. So I went there. Normally for me, if I go out, when I enter my room, the first thing I do, I'll just lift my hands and just pray in tongues. Rate cobra hashi telebrados, glory to God. So I went to barb my hair. I went to barber my hair. Alright, at the barber's shop. So this guy, so while they were barbing me at the barber's shop, a song was playing. Jakuru Jakuru Ja, that's the title of the song. Ja Jakuru Ja Jakuru 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 Ja Ja, that's the song. You know the song now. Be sincere, what's that? Okay, yeah, focus, it's okay. So they were just playing the song. That was the title of the song. No, it's pakurupa, something like that. Something, I don't know. So I just played dumb. When I go back home, as I opened the door, let me lift up my hand and pray in tongues. What I said from my mouth was pakurupa. But you all can relate now. A song is playing, the song is off, but it's still playing in your head. Why? Because you see, your mind is at the mercy of sound. You can't even practicalize it right now. If you close your eyes now and you begin to imagine that your mom was standing in front of you, the moment as you are imagining it, just shout Pastor Elijah. The moment you shout Pastor Elijah, your mommy's picture will disappear, my picture will appear. Why? Your mind will pick picture from the sound you just made. Your mind is meant to run on thoughts. And thoughts, alright, are produced from sound. Thoughts are made from sound that is heard. That's why Ecclesiastes 5:30 says, "A dream cometh by multitude of business." Most of the dreams that you have are product of unsettled matter of issue of argument in your mind that now goes to replay like a script when you are asleep. I can create my dream. When I listen to my tape, I see myself preaching to myself in my dream. I'm sleeping. That's why you are a spirit being. While you are sleeping, let the tape be playing. You can grow spiritually in 1 month that everyone around you will be amazed. You can join this church in 1 month and then you will be so amazed at the mighty things, so much responsibility that will be put on you. And guess what? Haters will eat. Potatoes will potate. Shall keep moving. Amen. Yes, that's it. No one cares. If you like, join in church 3 months and then you are doing so fine, we keep putting bombarding responsibility and to enlarge your capacity. That's the system in the kingdom. Haters can keep hating, nothing concern you. You're just working your father's work. Amen. And be bold to wear the badge of your pastor. Amen. Yes, did you hear what I said? Yes, be bold to wear the badge of your pastor. Care less what anybody says. Ah, do you know your kind is a pastor? Then don't let anybody who is unruly drag you into unruliness. Do you understand what I'm saying? And I've noticed one thing. A lot of people don't know. There's a way your environment will absorb you. Most people, if you keep hanging around those who, you know, there's some people, they don't go to church again. Say, ah, no, all the churches, God, there's one guy, oh, he does not go, he just pray in his house, pray. The Bible says, do not forsake the gathering of our brethren together. Do you know what I'm saying? If you hang around folks who leave church, very soon you will leave church too. I've seen it. No matter how spiritual you are, don't worry, next Sunday I'll talk about lukewarm in Revelation. I've seen that pattern. See, let me tell you. When I was in Abuja, there were times when after I'm done praying, there's a dynamic church behind my house. I know those people now. They will put the speaker. Why everybody in the compound is complaining? Me, I see it as an advantage. I'll wake up. I want to sleep. But I can't sleep. I'll just sit down. By the time I sit down for 3-4 minutes, I'll start praying in tongues too. There's a way your environment will absorb you. Do you understand what I'm saying? I've told you the story of a young guy when I was in the university. That guy, if he has lecture, 9 a.m. in the morning, 9 p.m. this night, before he sleeps, he will get a bucket of water, put in the room. He will set his alarm 8:45. The next day, he will sleep. The alarm will wake him 8:45. If you wake him 7, someone that slept since 9 p.m. last night, he will say, he will not open his eyes. He doesn't want to open his eyes. He doesn't want to lose the sleep. So then, he will cover himself with the duvet again. I don't want to call his name because he might be listening. He has changed now. I say, brother X, why is it? He will go back to sleep again. 8:45, alarm will wake him up. He will take the water, he will carry his towel, quick. Just, and then, class. Come back again. I say, this one will not last with me. 3 months, because I woke up in the middle and pray. 3 months. It's like one day I was praying in sport because I would leave the room and I would just go outside. There's a small field outside of my room. Block D312, our annex. That was my room. I would go out there and pray. I stayed there for 4 years. I also noticed that one night I was praying. Somebody was behind me too, praying. I looked back. I said, I was so happy. So that's how he became. Today he's a strong minister of the gospel. Amen forevermore. There's a way your environment absorbs you. So number one is, I said what? Control your sight and sound. Number two, let me just give it quickly because time is fast spent already. Engage the law of emphasis. You know, somebody was saying something one time and I found a lot of sense in it. He said, do you know that what we call balance is not always about the picture of a car that all the tires are balanced? That's not usually the picture of a balance. Sometimes a balance could be a speedboat that is having, maybe there's a torrential rise of water on the left hand side. Now, for that speedboat to balance, it's not about balancing all the wheels this time, right? This time around, the balance will be done on the area where there's much pressure. Do you understand? How many of you get what I'm trying to say? How many of you have been on speedboat? Sorry if you're in the north, there's hardly sea around you. Praise God. But did you get, how many of you get what I'm saying? So sometimes balance is about emphasizing an area of deficiency. Do you understand what I'm saying? So you have emphasized. Okay, for instance now, I'm not noticed for the past 2 months we've been emphasizing on prayer. Did you see that? So it is still balance. For example, if somebody is having a nutrient deficiency, there are some sickness that are nutrient deficient, okay? When you go to the doctor will say, start eating so-so food, right? Now, like example, was it in the first service or second service? Okay, I give you an example that I remember one time when I cut out on sugar for 2 years completely. I went extreme because I read a book that said that condemned most of the food we are eating, and it is true. All this puff, buns, I don't eat all those things. All will be dripping glory. You know, all those things. I don't eat those things. White bread. And you see some people, they go and buy white bread. All this bread outside. You see somebody, I say, bread. It's bread, though. So I stopped eating all those things. For 2 years, my sugar level dropped. When the doctors told me that, this is what you now have. I noticed I got weak. And I went to Google to search. One of the symptoms is you can drop dead. I say, He said, so start eating sugar. So, and I said, but they now told me that I should not use synthetic means to get my sugar. I should use LD means. So, I went to buy dates. I don't know if you know dates. Debino. Alright. So I even have the powder. I mixed the powder, date powder with my pap, everything. So throughout that season of my life, about 3 months, every day I was eating dates. You will see me on the road, I'm chewing it. Date all the time. In the nights before I sleep, even after I've brushed, I will still put date. I wake up in the night again before I pray. I'll see the date on my pillow. I'm eating it. I say, drop dead. No, I must not drop dead. Amen. Until I noticed my sugar level came back to life. Amen. Now that is, listen, at that point, that is emphasis to gain balance. Even though I was eating something, a singular food every day, it is still balanced. Did you get what I'm saying? So balanced diet is not all about just having all the variety. Sometimes it's about emphasis on a particular diet that is required to cure a particular deficiency. If you understand what I say, shout a big amen. The next one is accountability. Accountability. That's the third one. See, you need to stop being individualistic about your devotion. Christianity is not a personal race. You can't be saying, I have a personal reason. I don't want to join the prayer. I just like to do my own thing. I like to do my own prayer. It's a lie. The strategy of the devil always begins with isolation. If the devil wants to kill you, the first thing he does is to isolate you. Have you ever seen a burning fire before? Have you seen a burning fire with several woods? Come on, talk to me. All the wood, they all have fire, right? Remove one wood aside. What will happen? The fire will reduce until it goes off completely. Don't be deceived. There is no one Mamopo in the school of the spirit. That's how some people have got several crazy. See, no time for today. Time is fast spent. Do you know that most of the courts, Christian courts today, are product of personal, private, unhealthy isolation devotion? Permit my English. There's no such thing. You are a member of Cornerstone Grace Center. You can't say, I'm doing my own prayer. I don't want to join the church. Shut your trap. 6 a.m. Are you a member of the church? You must join. It's a must. There's no such thing as, me, I will do my own. See, it makes no difference even if you do 2 hours. Listen, there is something about praying together. You have to go and listen to last two Sundays' message. I did this 8-part teaching on prayer. It's important for everyone in this church to listen to that tape. It's very simple. How many of you here growing up, you know, you have morning devotions in your house? How many of you normally have morning devotion? Almost everybody. Are there times when daddy just points to you, yeah, lead us today in prayer? And you say, let us bow our heads for prayer. In Jesus' name. Daddy, we thank you. And before you know, when you were done praying, you were surprised at yourself. Let me see. You are like, so I'll be a woman of God like this. Why? Because there's this. You just, many of you, listen, there are some things in you that will never find expression except you do it with other people. There's something about sight. All these points are interconnected. There's something about Peter seeing Jesus walk on water and asking him, bid me come also. Do you understand what I'm saying? Praise God forevermore. And it's not just Hebrews 13 verse 17. Hebrews 13 verse 17. The Bible says, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Obey them that have rule over you and submit yourself. Accountability. Some of you here, I don't know, you are just proud. It's a proud spirit. It's a proud spirit. Praise God forevermore. Let me stop here because of time. But have you learned something? Have you learned something? Can do personal eat check, personal fitness assessment. Accountability is one of the 3 things you should do. Be accountable. And in this church, you don't have to be accountable to me directly in that sense of always calling me. We have a structure already. Pray. Join us prayer in the morning. Don't stop giving. Get to that age in your life where excuses are no longer, you're no longer a friend to excuse. Excuses are the nails you use to nail the house of failure. Stop these excuses. Pastor Paul, you remember there was a time my phone had problem, 2018. How much did I rent a phone to be spending Spectrum of Insight every day for 1 week? 5,000. I will call somebody and say, please, let me rent your phone. Because I can't afford not to send or publish our devotional daily. Since January 1, 2017. Someone say January 1. Say it again. From January 1, 2017 till today, 2021, there is no day I don't publish a devotional. Somebody say no day.
No day.
Say it again.
No day.
That's consistency. So there's no, we have built a structure to help you. 6 a.m. Join us. I know you have done your own. Who told you? If I tell you how long I pray before that 6, it still doesn't make any difference. Prayer cannot be enough. If you like, do all night. There are times I do all night and I still join the 6 a.m. 6 a.m. to 6:30. Please display the MixLR link. Join it. We are spending so much dollars, you know, to pay me salary company. Because of you, we want to make sure that you are participating. Okay, Bible study. Look up. Let me tell you something. I want to close with this. I was telling someone recently, I said, do you know that a good believer, a good Christian, who doesn't miss midweek, because church expert says true disciples are those who attend midweek services. A true disciple who does not miss midweek service takes notes, listens to at least 1 tape of his pastor every day, joins the prayer regimen of the ministry consistently. he will be a good Christian. And a good Christian will make a good husband. A submissive daughter in a house, in the church, will make a submissive wife. See, let me tell you, character, what you call character, Christian virtue is actually transferable to every other area of life. Somebody who is consistent with church coming will be consistent with loving their wife or their spouse. There's a way it filters into other area of life. So, I believe next Sunday we'll continue. I have some deeper things to share with you next week. Let me tell you, do personal assessments. Forget who is IPing you. But I said, rise on your feet, everybody.
We know that you've been blessed. For further inquiry, counseling, prayer, and partnership, please call +234 8074 07 8566. We celebrate you.